greatest ever told. I'd write about my daddy, for he has a heart of gold. Whilst my dad is not a superhero that is known around the world, he's everything to me, for I'm his little girl. I'd write about his lessons. He teaches me right from wrong. He shows me the Bible to help me become more strong. He tells me to hold my head up high, carry myself with pride. Thanks to him, I am somebody. I will never run and hide. If I could write a story, it would be the greatest ever told. I'd write about my daddy, for he is a heart of gold.
Wow.
How am I going to beat that?
You're not.
You're basically not.
I'm not at all. Okay, let me just get set up here. That was amazing. One more round of applause for So, before I get into the sermon, I'm going to get everybody to participate in this, what do you call it, exercise. During the sermon, I also want everybody to pair up, because there's going to be quite a few questions that I'd like you to discuss as a group. I've got a couple of goodies here as well for the people who get the picture words correctly, okay? In order to do this in a controlled way, I think it might work best if we put our hands up first if you know what the word is so that I can throw the chocolate or goodie at you. So, who can guess what this is? Yeah, there were a couple of hands. Joel had his up before I even said, because he can probably see on the screen. Okay, caveat. We need to close this slightly. Okay, nobody can see now, right? That was cheating, guys. What is it? There we go. Okay, so what do you want? I got a Snickers, Cream Egg, Galaxy. Cream Egg. Okay, here we go. Let's try and do this. Oh, there was an interception. Okay, there we go. Okay, what's this? Who set the hand up? I think that was Nora. You get a small Snickers for that. Sorry, that was an awful try. Okay, so we all get the concept of how that works, right? We got that right. That was hot dog. They get harder as we go on. Now, as mentioned today, we all have different experiences with our fathers in the past. You know, we have good experiences. Sky sharing there. I mean, that's amazing. That's clearly a girl with a great experience with her dad. We saw in the video, there were kids with good experiences. We also have kids who don't necessarily have good experiences with their dads. We have people whose dads are present and people whose dads are not present. I myself had a fairly interesting upbringing with my dad being somewhat present and not present. And today I want to share a bit about that. I've also been privileged to not only have one dad, but three. And so today I want to draw some parallels between some characteristics within my dad's and God. So, today the thing that I want to talk about and focus on is God, the ultimate father. So, who can guess this characteristic? Joel?
Powerful.
What do you want, man? Galaxy, curly, whirly, curly, whirly. There we go. Powerful. So I'm going to start off with my first dad. This is my biological dad. And for those of you who have met him, he is very powerful. If you think I am big and I've got big hands and some big guns, he takes it to a new level. I will never forget the story that my granddad told me. My granddad said that one day my dad asked whether he can borrow his saw. And so my granddad said, yes, of course, you can borrow the saw. My dad then underestimated his power, and while sawing some wood, he actually broke the saw. I mean, who does that? That kind of sounds like some superhero like Sky was talking about. But my dad is an incredibly powerful guy. He's huge. I mean, that was taken a year ago. Look, he's like almost twice the size of me. Just look at that. He's a beast. He's huge. But I'd always, when I think of my dad, I think of someone who is powerful. And that is a straight correlation with what I think of when I think about God. So, within your pairs, I want you to discuss and share a couple of examples of where you see God's power in your life. So just discuss that for 30 seconds or 40 seconds or so quickly in your pairs. You know, my perception of this question is when I think of God, I think of the amazing stories in the Bible that display his power. You know, the fact that God just spoke and he created the universe. That in itself is an incredible power to have. The fact that we read about all of these stories where he guided the Israelites with this flame in the sky at night, raining manna, and the fact that a cloud was following them during the day and showing them where to go. The parting of the Red Sea. There are so many incredible stories that display God's power. For me personally, when I think of this, I love nature. I love being in nature, a part of nature, around nature. I love it. That I went through a stage in my life where I was like, you know what? I'm not good at anything academic. Like, I don't want to go to university. I just want to go to Kenya and just become some game ranger where I can just be with the wild and nature the whole time. Bear Grylls, Ray Mears. I loved watching that. All my siblings were watching Cartoon Networks and all of that, Phineas and Ferb and Ed and Eddie. I was turning it on and I was watching Bear Grylls and Discovery Channel, National Geographic. But to me, that's a massive connection of how I see God's power. You know, we were in South Africa not that long ago in May, and at night, the sky just lights up with stars. And the fact that God knows every single star, the fact that God knows everything about everything there is in the universe, is just so powerful. Beyond that, the fact that that is our Father, that's an incredibly sobering thing to think about. I might look at my dad and think he is powerful, but God takes that to another level. So, get ready. The second picture word is coming up, okay? Okay, well, these are questions I had, sorry. So I'll ask them. That's probably the right thing to do. Okay. Are you in touch with God's power? And what helps you to remember God's power? Now, I think it's important for us to be in touch with that power, to be in touch with the fact that we serve this incredible God that is so powerful. This is where I say, next one, get ready. Yeah? No, not self-balance. Yeah, Mum?
Selfless.
There we go. Okay, Mum, what do you want? I've got a galaxy, another galaxy ripple, and a Snickers. Galaxy. Which one? This one. Okay. That's a good one. It's a bit fragile, so. Okay. Again, quickly within your groups, discuss how examples of where you see God being selfless. So this is where it brings me to my second dad. Throwback there, man. They didn't even know I was putting those photos up. I got way more where that comes from. So my second dad, Rudy, came into our life and married my mum. And you know, when I think of Rudy, I think of somebody who's extremely selfless. The fact that he gave up his single life, immediately married a woman with three crazy children. Is that not selfless?
Yes.
And also always remember this one thing that happened between me and Rudy. He is massive into his music and good hi-fi sounds and all of this kind of stuff. And I remember I was wanting to go on the school trip that costed a bit of money, and his hi-fi broke. And I remember he had the willingness, instead of fixing the hi-fi, which is still broken, still not fully fixed, instead of fixing that, he was always thinking of us, saying, it's fine, I'd rather spend the money on you kids to go and achieve these adventures in life, you know, and not spend that on myself. But just the biggest example is this. You know, look at these photos. He immediately stepped into a family. He immediately gave up so much freedom. Me being married now, I cannot comprehend what that must have been like. I cannot comprehend what it must have been like to marry B with three other kids. I wouldn't have the power to do that. I don't even think I'd have the selflessness to do that. And I think when I thought about God, I also had that initial same response as Titi did. It's quite easy to think of examples where God is selfless. You know, I love these scriptures, and these are a couple of the scriptures that speak to me when I think of God's selflessness. Immediately, I think of Jesus as well. But I think here, you know, it says here in 1 Peter, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. If we had a selfish God, he wouldn't say something like that. He'd say, deal with it, it's your problem. You put yourself into that. You're chasing a career. But we have a God that is incredibly selfless. A God that wants our anxieties to be casted upon him. In John, we see this is how God shows his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, Jesus was humbled and came to earth. God's only Son. He could have spent eternity with God and said, it's fine. I'll let all of you do what you need to do. Yet he gave that up. So that who can live? So that we can live. So that we can live the peaceful lives that we live now. You know, we serve such a selfless God. Do you believe that God cares for you? Do you believe that he has your best interests at heart? And do you believe that he wants what's best for you? You know, those are questions that can very easily become tainted by our worldly fathers. It's easier to question our worldly fathers. Now, we can also question God, but we have a perfect God that, believe it or not, wants your best interest. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to live a life worthy of living. Amen. You know, I find that just so... I'm not going to say the word because that's the next characteristic. So get ready, last one. This is a hard one. Ooh, Maria, what did you say?
Comforting.
Yes. You can have both. You can have both last chapters. Here we go. Okay, I'll try and... Oh, I almost hit Nora's head there. Sorry. Comforting. Yes. There we go. So again, same exercise. Within your groups, quickly discuss a couple of examples of where you feel God's comfort or where you see God as being a comforting God. But this is where I come to my third father, okay? So, Alan, now I'll tell you guys a little story. Me and Bea got married in January, and we came back from our honeymoon, and we stayed with Alan and Mandy. And I was packing in the room because we had our flight the next morning, and I heard the whole family in Alan and Mandy's bedroom. And Mandy and Alan just call me over and they say, you know, Alan, he always calls me my boy. And he says, come here, my boy. Get into bed with us. And I'm like, what? So I like walk into the room. The whole family are in the bed. And Alan says, come here, my boy. And they're getting me to get into the bed with the whole family. And they all read that way. You can see the photo here. Sarah Jane, who's 22, she's in the middle of her two parents. They're all reading together. And it was a bit strange initially. But that's Alan's character. You know, he is somebody who is a comforter. You know, the definition of comforting is something, it's a person's feeling of grief or distress. You know, when we were dating, B would call her dad almost every morning. And he would be that comforter for her. He would just listen and alleviate the stress or grief that she had. As I get to know him much better, I can see that that is one of his key characteristics. And it is very comforting. It's comforting to talk to Alan because he's somebody who genuinely just listens. He's somebody who wants to understand. He's somebody that wants to take on those griefs and distresses and say, everything's fine. Everything's fine. There are, you can't even count, there are so many examples of God being a comforter within the Bible. The one that I love is in Psalms 3, if we turn our Bibles there, I think David was somebody that really understood God's comfortness and that comforting character. You know, in Psalm 3, he says here, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. For the Lord, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. I'm sure you can all relate, but you know when you've just had a tough, tough day? You know that amazing feeling you get when you just surrender the day to God? You know when you're distressed and anxious? You know that relief you just feel when you just take it and surrender it to God? You know, I think Jesus also very much understood and displayed in his life that God was his comforter. We read it in Gethsemane, when he prays, not just once or twice, but three times. He goes to God, his comforter. Is God the first call you make when you require comfort? Do you seek comfort from God? And if so, how do you do that? You know, for me, again, it's isolating myself from just praying to God. It's reminding myself with the scriptures. For me, a scripture that I've been meditating on a lot the last year has been Hebrews 12. It's an amazing scripture that just talks about how much God wants to be our Father. And how we will face hardship. We will face hardship, but it's for our best. God has got our best interests at heart. Although my earthly fathers are great and I respect them hugely, my dad, who is powerful, he will grow weak. But God won't. My dad, who is selfless, will grow shells. I almost said shellfish. That's quite hard to say. He will go selfish. But God won't. And Alan's not always going to be comforting. He's going to be scary. I'm going to want to run away. But God won't. You know, God is the ultimate father. And the last question is just, how lucky are we? You know, how lucky are we to have Him as the ultimate father? You know, and if you're struggling to believe that, and if you're struggling to understand that, and if you don't really connect with the fact that God is your Father, talk to people about that. Share scripture. Pray with one another. And pray specifically that God would show you that He is the ultimate Father. Thank you.